WMAQ NBC in Chicago.
Here he is again, Dizzy Dean, brought to you by the makers of Johnson's Wax for Carnu, the wax-fortified auto polish that cleans and polishes your car in one easy application.
Howdy, folks. Frank, I got another Charlie Graham store today, and we might as well get it off our chest right now.
All right, Diz. I was going to tell the folks we appreciated the letters to the Dizzy Dean mailbag. Now, that takes care of that, so on with the Charlie Graham yarn.
It's a brand new one, Frank. The Cubs had played some good ball, but they had their troubles, too. And this story is about a misfortune time the club had this season. The Cubs, which Charlie Graham manages, had lost 8 straight games, and in one day they get off to a good start and get 3 men on base with nobody out. That makes Graham feel pretty good with them bases filled. The next batter hits a short fly to left field, and Charlie is afraid the ball is going to be caught. So he signals the base runners to hold their places and wait to see what happens to that fly ball. Well, the man on third sees the hold-up sign and stands close to third base. But the man on first and second think that's a base hit, sure, and they take off. And when Graham looks over after seeing a left fielder take the short fly on a one bounce, there's 3 Cubs all on third base. Charlie thought he was in Brooklyn at first, but he remembers it ain't Brooklyn. So he walks over to the bag and says to the 3 base runners, who you can imagine is a little bit rattled by all that congestion, "Fellows, let's have a little meeting now that we're all together and here and so convenient. And I think it's mighty good idea for about 2 of you birds to take off in the general direction of second base. Yes, let's do that and see what steps the opposition takes."
Well, I can well imagine, Diz, what steps the opposition took. That heads-down base running can cause a lot of confusion, can't it?
Yes, and it happens anywhere. Those Brooklyn Dodgers never did have no copyright on Dizzy base running. I've seen the smartest club in the league get in a jam. Frank, can you imagine a situation like this? Runners on first and second, and Cardinal runners, mind you, nobody out. The batter hits a clean double to right field. Nobody scores, and when the dust clears up and all the throwing is over, there's 2 outs, and the man who hit the double is on first base.
No, I can't imagine that, Dizzy, but I know you're going to tell us about it, so proceed.
We was playing the Giants at the Polo Grounds, Frank. A tall pitcher named Henry Pipping was on second base, and Terry Moore, a great base runner, was on first. Nobody out, remember? Well, a young rookie named Art Garibaldi, who played third base for the Cards for a short spell that season, was the batter. And he hits that clean double to right that I was telling you about. Pippen takes off for third base and figures he'll score easily, and he could. But Mike Gonzalez on the third base coaching sees Mellott make a quick stop and throw that looks like it could be relayed to the plate in time to prevent Moore from scoring from first. So Gonzalez tries to give Pippen and Moore instructions at the same time. So he gives a go sign with his left hand, meaning for Pippen to score. And he flashes the stop sign with his right hand, meaning for Moore to pull up at third. At the same time, Mike tries to tell everybody what he means. He yells, "You go, he stop. You go, he stop. You go, he stop," at the top of his voice. And believe me, that Gonzalez had a pretty good voice. Well, Pippen looks up rounding third, and all he sees is that big right hand of Mike's flashing the stop sign. Pippen figures maybe Mellott out there done some kind of a miracle with that hit. But Pippen's a good soldier. He tried to stop, lost his footing, and fell flat. By that time, Ott's throw has been taken by Bartell, who fires the ball to Gus Mancuso, and Pippen is a dead duck. But before Mancuso can catch Pippen, Terry Moore, who had rounded second and reached third, decides maybe he'd better leave third open in case Pippen can get back there. So Terry takes off for second base. But Mancuso makes a quick tag of Pippen by that time and fires the ball to second base, and Moore is caught in a run-up and tagged out. And poor Garibaldi, just up from the Coast League, has reached second base easy on his double. But seeing Moore coming back, he races back to first base.
Well, the thing that amazes me, Dizzy, is that Frankie Frisch lived through all that.
You should have been there in the dugout, Frank. We lost a fine chance to get back in the ballgame by that series of bad breaks. But that dugout was better than a show. Gonzalez comes in after the inning and he says, "Frank, I tell Pippen he run, and I told Terry he go. But those crazy fellows, they can understand plain English."
Well, Diz, could you tell us what Frisch said under those trying circumstances?
Yes, he was in good form. He grabbed 4 towels and spread them out on the floor of the dugout, and he said, "Men, here is a baseball diamond. there is home plate, and there is first base and second base and third base. Now try to remember where all these bases are. Just then, Terry Moore entered the dugout and Frisch said, "Mr. Moore, these are the bases on the diamond. First, second, and third." But Terry couldn't stand any more. He kicked those towels one after another right out of the dugout, and the umpires must have wondered who was throwing in all those white flags.
Well, thanks, Diz, for an enlightening story. I've often wondered just what went on in that dugout at a tense moment like that. And if you'll pardon me for invading your department very briefly, Mel Ott told me a good base-running story. It seems that Mel stopped at third on a double by Lindstrom one day, and Freddie, not paying too much attention, thought that Ott had scored. Well, as the pitcher took a full windup, the otherwise alert Lindstrom quickly broke for third and made a clean steal of the bag. The only trouble, of course, was that as he slid in, he saw his buddy Ott on the same base. "Where in the world are you going?" Ott asked. And Lindstrom quick cracked, "Back to second, Mel, if I can make it."
And now, Frank, I can see it's mailbag time. Got any good ones today?
We sure have, Diz. Here's one from Ned Cram of Portland, Maine, who was interested in your talk about pitchers who were scared of home runs and about games that dragged out so long. Mr. Cram asks if you don't think games could be shortened quite a bit if pitchers could get their signs from the catcher more quickly. And he wonders if all that delay as the signs are being flashed, shaken off, or approved is necessary. How about it, Diz?
I've noticed just what Mr. Cram said, Frank. It does seem to take some pitchers and catchers powerful long to get their signs straightened out. But I believe that all goes back to what we was talking about a couple of weeks ago. I mean, there's a shortage of catchers, and the pitchers are mighty leery about throwing that ball. Of course, Frank, there's a good reason for those signs between the catcher and pitcher. The catcher's got to know whether it's a curve or a fastball. If he don't know, he can be caught off guard mighty easy. Sometimes you see a catcher fool worse than the hitter on a pitch, and usually you see the catcher go out and talk to the pitcher after that. Probably got their signals crossed.
And that's bad in any business.
You said it, Frank. Of course, if you got the stuff, you don't have to worry too much about those signs. One day in Boston, the Cardinals were playing the Braves, and after one of them fancy clubhouse meetings that all managers like to hold, I said to Bill Delancey, my catcher, "Bill, let's see how we can get by today without no signs and without pitching no curves. I'll just fog that fast one in there, mixing a changeup once in a while. That's a half-speed ball, Frank. And we'll see how we get along." Well, them Braves didn't know what was going on. There wasn't a sign all day, and we played that game in about an hour and a half. And, Frank, we shut them out without even throwing a curveball.
But only a Dean could do that, Dizzy. And only Carnew can do the job I'm going to tell you about now.
Step right up to the plate, Frank, and smack it out.
Well, there's just no percentage in driving a car that looks as dull as a mud turtle. You don't like it, and your family doesn't like it. Everybody prefers a car that sparkles like new. Of course, cleaning used to be a tough job, I'll admit. But with Johnson's Wax Fortified Carnew, you can make your car shine from front grille to back bumper by just rubbing it on and wiping it off. You see, Carnew cleans as it polishes your car. Cleans it with six special ingredients that slice through road film like a searchlight through darkness. Mm-hmm. It zips away that sticky, stubborn film that water won't touch. And Johnson's Carnew polishes your car, gives it a brilliant luster, because Carnew is wax fortified. And it's so easy. Rub some Carnew on your car, let it dry to a white powder, and then wipe it off. That's all there is to it. Why not pick up some Johnson's wax fortified Carnew from your nearest dealer? Get some after the show today and try it before supper. Just rub it on, wipe it off, and tomorrow, roll down the highway in a car with an eye-catching Sunday shine. Now it's time for Dizzy Dean the Coach. What have you in the way of sage counsel for young Americans who want to play big league baseball, Coach Dean?
It's short today, Frank. Just one little idea, but I believe it will help the boys. You know, I can't pass a kid's ball game on a corner lot without wanting to stop and watch him play. And the last game I watched, I noticed the kids were having a lot of trouble on infield flies, because two or three of them would try to catch the same fly. Now, young ball players should start right away trying to play the game right. I've poked fun at clubhouse meetings, but you can sure learn plenty in them meetings. Get your club together before a game, or some inning before you're going to play. Do a little organizing. Have an understanding that when a pop fly is hit into the air, the infielder will take orders from the pitcher. He's in a good position to see who can make the catch the more easiest. and see that the pitcher understand he's to holler instructions. It's just those little things, organization. That's all it amounts to. That makes the difference between greenhorn baseball and the kind that should be played. Just try that little tip. The man making the catch can't see nothing but the ball. He don't know what the base runners is doing, but if the pitcher hollers, "Joe, you take it," and then "second base, Joe, second base," you may get yourself a double play. That's the way to do it in the big leagues. Boys, and that's where you want to be, playing as soon as you can. You don't want to be semi-pro bush leaguers. Organize, fellas. Just organize.
That sort of cooperation would be in order for all of us, Diz. And now, will you cooperate with one more story before we catch up with the hot news department?
Just a short one, Frank. It's about my old friend Beans Reardon, one of the finest umpires ever to wear an old Civil War mask, and one of them blowed-up chest protectors. I like Beans. I like to talk, and Beanie will oblige you at any time. He's one of the talkingest umpires I ever seen. Well, one day we chewed the rag back and forth all day. It was a close game, and it looked like every decision went against us. But we kept it pretty good-natured at that. That is, until the eighth inning. When the Dodgers have got the tying run on second base, somebody hits a single to center. And I'll swear, Terry Moore throws a strike, and I'm sure that runner is out at the plate. But Reardon calls him safe, and I turn in disgust of patient, and I'm really mad, Frank. But my back's to Reardon, and he don't hear what I'm saying. So he throws off that old Civil War mask of his and strides out to the mound and says, "Dizzy, what did you say?" And I barks back at him, "Beans, you've been guessing out here all afternoon. Now you just guess what I said."
And now I guess, Dizzy, that it's time for the big league picture as Dizzy Dean, the reporter, sees it. What's cooking that's hot, Jerome?
If you want something hot, Frank, I can't think of nothing hotter than that American League race. Just last week, I said the Red Sox would pass them Indians, and they sure done it. The Yankees haven't turned the trick yet, but I still figure they'll be up there with Boston in a ding-dong race.
Well, Diz, how do you account for the way the Athletics are staying up there in a contending position? The club must have something. It's past the flash stage.
You said it, Frank. You can't be a flash and hang on through July. I've heard a lot of explanations about why the Athletics is up there, but I got a theory of my own. I'm passing up all the details about pitching and hitting. I'm giving the credit to that grand old man of baseball, Connie Mack. I don't believe there could be a more proper team than the A's. If they could hang on, then put on a spurt down the stretch and qualify for the World Series.
You must have something there, Dizzy. I've heard fans saying all season that they couldn't see what was holding up the Athletics. But I guess if you walk all around them, you'll see a pretty good support. Connie Mack knows what it's all about.
And he did a great job of building, Frank, without spending a lot of money. Some people keep saying that Connie Mack has a team of discards. I look at it in another way. Connie Mack has a team of players who know what to do. They've had experience. They make the right play in them close games. And when you know how, and when you've got a good pitching, brother, you got something, Frank.
Yeah, but nobody has done too much about that big first-place margin of the Boston Braves in the National League, Diz.
No, but there's a sign of life and trouble just below, Frank. I was looking at the National League schedule for the last few days of the season. The last seven games for the Braves is with the Giants and Dodgers. And in that last 9 days, Boston plays the Giants 2 games, then the Dodgers 3 games, and the last 2 is with the Giants. Frank, there's going to be a lot of excitement around the East them last few days. The way I see it, mark what I said, Frank. There's some excitement you don't want to fail to miss.
And, folks, we hope you'll be right back with us at this same time next week to listen to Dizzy Dean. He's brought to you by Johnson's Car New, a wax-fortified auto polish that cleans and polishes your car in one easy application. Car New cleans when you rub it on, gets the bugs, tree sap, oil, and tar that water won't touch, and it polishes when you wipe it off. To give your car that Sunday shine, rub it on, wipe it off. That's all you do with Carnu.
And this is Old Diz. Hope all you folks in the stands this time next Saturday. I'll be pitching them across again for Johnson's Carnu.
This is Frank Eschen saying goodbye until next Saturday for the makers of Johnson's Wax Fortified Auto Polish Carnu. This program came to you from KSD, St. Louis. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.